I was listening to a sermon the other day. The preacher spoke about the importance of the home. He said the home is a safe place in a dangerous world. It is a place of encouragement and love. The home is a refuge after a long day. His words reminded me of my grandmother. When I lived with my grandmother's house was a safe home. Every day when I came home from school, she would give me a great big hug. I always look forward to that. The preacher continued his sermon by talking about the Christian's home. He was not talking about a place where Christians live. He said, the journey is our home. He explained that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is a lifelong journey. The journey of faith becomes our home as we abide in Christ and walk with Him. By faith, Jesus receives us with open arms, forgives our sin, fills us with new life, and empowers us for service in the world. Those who complete their journey of faith find eternal rest and peace in the presence of God. For Christians, the journey is our home. And so, speaking to the confirmands, today you take the next step in your journey of faith. Today is Confirmation Sunday. For most of you, this special moment is a time to publicly affirm your faith in Jesus Christ and to renew for yourself the promise made in your baptism. For Christopher, today is a time for you to receive the sacrament of baptism. We understand baptism to be the means of God's grace that initiates us into the life of the church. I am most honored to be a part of your baptism celebration. On behalf of the leaders and mentors of the confirmation class, thank you all for allowing us to take this journey with you. Confirmation Day is a day to celebrate you. It is a day to praise God for this next step in your faith journey. And it is a time to recognize those who loved and supported you along the way. On behalf of the confirmation class, I thank the many people who have loved and supported you over the years. Parents, grandparents, family members, teachers, pastors, youth leaders, mentors, and friends. Without your love and care, these youth would not be here today. Thank you so much. Family and friends are not the only people who have influenced you in your confirmation class. You discovered other people who have influenced your faith that you have not known personally. We learned about the people called Methodist, like John Wesley, Francis Asbury, and Philip Otterbein, who spread the gospel of Christ with enthusiasm. Today, all of us are blessed by the love and sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. On this Confirmation Sunday, I want you to know that you are not only becoming full members of the church, you are also becoming an important part of its tradition. In the message this morning, we will hear about three characteristics of a disciple by recalling the lives of the saints who have gone before us. I believe it is in living out these characteristics that we receive the blessings of God. From the reading in Acts chapter 9, we hear about a man named Saul. Saul hated Christians. He was threatening to murder Christians. He was breaking into their homes and throwing them into prison. It didn't matter whether you were a man or a woman, Saul would drag you away. He was on a crusade to rid the world of Christianity. After Jerusalem, the second stop on his crusade was Damascus. He was determined to purge the Christian faith from the city about 140 miles north of Jerusalem. Along the way to Damascus, Saul saw a light from heaven and heard the voice of Jesus. These moments with Jesus left Saul blinded and his traveling companions speechless. Instead of marching into Damascus on a crusade, Saul was led into the city by the hand. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. Jesus appears to Ananias in a vision and asks him to go visit Saul. Ananias responds in fear, knowing Saul's reputation for hurting Christians. Ananias knows his visit might lead to his arrest, imprisonment, and perhaps even his death. Ananias' initial reaction to Jesus is fear. Like Ananias, sometimes we fear the call of our Lord. We fear the sacrifices Jesus requires. We fear the personal loss that obedience may bring. And sometimes we may fear for our own personal safety and well-being. Like Ananias, we can react in fear to Jesus' call. What I find interesting about this part of the passage is how Ananias opens his heart to Jesus. Instead of running away like the prophet Jonah did in the Old Testament, Ananias shares his feelings with Jesus. He doesn't want to go, and he lets Jesus know about it. Jesus listens, and then he explains God's plan for Saul's life. Ananias comes to understand his role in God's plan. Jesus overcomes his fear. Jesus' words give Ananias the courage to act. The first characteristic of a disciple is courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to overcome fear through prayer. Ananias clearly understands the potential consequences of meeting Saul. By talking with Jesus, Ananias finds the courage to confront Saul no matter the cost. We communicate with God through prayer. God gives us courage through our prayers. In Atlanta, Georgia, there was a disciple named Martin Luther King, Jr. Courage was a characteristic of Dr. King's life. He advocated for nonviolent means to fight against racial injustice. He used the power of protest to advance the civil rights movement. Despite a terrorist group bombing his house, he had the courage to lead a boycott of the Montgomery bus system. In another instance, he faced a police force that used dogs and fire hoses to drive back protesters. On another occasion, tear gas and clubs were used to break up groups. Time after time, Dr. King had the courage to stand up for his beliefs. His courage came from his faith in God through his prayers. In a sermon, Dr. King said, "God is able to beat back gigantic waves of opposition and to bring low prodigious mountains of evil. This ringing testimony of the Christian faith is that God is able." Ultimately, violence ended Dr. King's life tragically in 1968. Dr. King was remembered for his courage to stand peacefully in the midst of violence. His courage changed the course of our nation's history. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. From Atlanta, Georgia, there was a disciple named Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who fought courageously for a dream of equality. Obedience is the second characteristic of a disciple. Ananias knows the consequences of God's plan. He has the courage to act even if Saul threatens his life. Now it is time for Ananias to obey the will of God. Ananias puts into motion what Jesus asked of him. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Christians find purpose in life through their obedience to God's will. Ananias obeys the Lord. In Calcutta, India, there was a disciple named Mother Teresa. She exemplified a life of obedience. In 1950, she founded the Missionaries of Charity. This religious order operates several public services. They operate soup kitchens, hospitals, schools, orphanages, youth centers, and shelters for lepers and the dying poor. Mother Teresa received enormous amounts of international praise and awards for her work during the 1979 Nobel Peace Prize. In a biography, Ann Seba describes the formative years in the life of Mother Teresa. At age 14, which most of the confirmands are about the age of 14, Mother Teresa was challenged in Sunday school by her priest with the words of St. Ignatius, "What have I done for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? And what will I do for Christ?" As she pondered this, she started to feel the stirring of a call, but admitted to friends it was hard to respond. For the next 2 years, she spent time on retreats and sought more guidance on her call. Her priest told her, near the age of 16, "If the thought that God may be calling you to serve him and your neighbor makes you happy, then that may be the very best proof of the genuineness of your vocation. Joy that comes from the depths of your being is like a compass by which you can tell what direction your life should follow. That is the case even when the road you must take is a difficult one." The defining moment in her life came at age 17 when she chose to live a life of self-sacrifice. By age 18, she left for India with the strong possibility of never returning to her hometown. At the age of 21, Mother Teresa took her vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. For Mother Teresa, the vow of obedience did not simply mean doing what you are told, but rather taking responsibility for listening to what needs to be done for the people. Her goals for the missionaries in India are to be a godly presence in the community and to work alongside the people. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Calcutta, India, there was a disciple named Mother Teresa who obediently followed God's call by caring for the sick and dying. Ananias arrives at the house where Saul was staying. What was Ananias to say to Saul? Would he speak boldly in defense of his faith? Would he condemn Saul for his actions? At this critical moment, would he run away in the fear that once seized his life? During their meeting, a single word stands out among the rest. Ananias calls Saul brother. The third characteristic of a disciple is godliness. Ananias understands that God's capacity to love and forgive extends to all people, even those who persecute the church. Two men with opposite views on faith come together in a moment of reconciliation. Ananias forgives Saul and welcomes him as his brother. It is a deep expression of spiritual intimacy. Ananias demonstrates the characteristic of godliness. At Assisi in the country of Italy, there was a disciple named Francis. Francis came from a wealthy family. As a youth, Francis was known as the King of Frolic. He was reckless and materialistic. He spent his money lavishly on fine clothing, which he enjoyed showing off to the other nobles. He had a ready wit and sang merrily. He became the favorite noble among the many young people in the land. At the age of 20, Francis became sick. He began to think about the emptiness in his life. He struggled inwardly with a desire to want more than the admiration of his friends. He withdrew into a life of prayer. One day, while riding his horse across the plains of Italy, Francis unexpectedly drew close to a leper. The leper had a repulsive appearance and filled Francis with disgust. He wanted to ride away from this man, but compassion filled his heart. He dismounted from his horse, put his arms around the leper, and gave him all the money that he had. Francis returned to Rome with a new spirit in his life. Later that day, he felt compelled to stand among a horde of beggars at the door of the church. In these days, Francis discovered the characteristic of godliness. Godliness is an act of giving up those things that bind us to the world so we can have the freedom to grow closer to God and serve those in need. In the following years, Francis of Assisi began an order of men and women who devoted themselves to a life of simplicity and humility before God. The order worked for the poor by begging for the things that they needed. The first people they cared for were the lepers. His ministry attracted thousands of people who were drawn by his sincerity and joy. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Italy, there was a disciple named Saint Francis of Assisi, who devoted his life to the godly pursuit of service to the poor. These saints of the church demonstrate courage, obedience, and godliness. Their service to the world testifies to their love of God and to Jesus, their Savior. They are people who can inspire us to continue writing the story of the church. The story of the church is your story and my story. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Xenia, there is a disciple named Alexandra. Of all the youth in the church, my family has known Alexandra the longest. We were going through pictures, and I found one of Alexandra and Isabel. It looks like they were about 9 years old, sitting on a haystack at Young's Dairy. I had the privilege of having Alexandra in my small group on a mission trip to the Quad Cities in Iowa. What Alexandra loves to do most is dance. She dances for a company called Live Gracefully. I think this name, Live Gracefully, goes beyond dance for her. Alexandra lives all parts of her life full of grace. Alexandra was confirmed at the 8:30 service and is currently en route to one of her dance competitions. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Cedarville, there is a disciple named Christopher. I have known Christopher since he was a young man in the God and Country program. I served as the pastor for his class. Christopher is athletic. He participates in several sports. Christopher is a good friend to others. In our appreciations during youth group, Morgan mentioned many times how Christopher is a person who is always there. He listens and seeks to understand. Christopher is kind and gentle. Yet don't let his personality fool you into thinking that he will back down from what he thinks is right. Christopher is willing to stand up for a friend. I invite Christopher forward for baptism.
I just wanted to say a special word of thanks to Jeannie Mills and to Susan Felly and to Pastor Rick. They helped out in the leading of this confirmation class this year. And many years, I really don't get to meet kids until we get to the confirmation process because they've been a part of youth group or whatever, but really haven't been a part of the rest of the life of the church. And that's not been true this year. For the most part, we have all pretty well known each other before we got into this confirmation process. So we've had some really good discussions, haven't we? Had some really good questions asked. I look at Janine when she says that because she has been one of our primary question askers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift that's offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith and through confirmation, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. We acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. We do have some people who have also been helping out in this process that we call mentors, and Christopher's mentor has been Scott. Rick, he's going to need help with the microphone, though. You want to say a word of introduction of Christopher?
Oh, yes, I am. I got to get my card out.
You said you'd have it.
That's right, I did. I said I'd have a card. Because I found out that the older you get, the shorter the memory becomes. And when there's pressure, you really do forget things. First of all, I didn't know that his name was Christopher. I just thought it was Chris. Then I found out that he has a middle name, just like I use my first name. We don't talk about it, do we? No. But I did find out some interesting things, and it didn't come until our last meeting. We were all sitting around being real nice and calm, and Pastor Brad said, let's share some things about ourselves. And it was discovered.
Now you've got Chris really worried about what you're going to say, Scott.
And it was, no, this is really cool. Where's Mrs. Olson? Yeah, she's involved in this. It was discovered in the process that, yes, this young man does track and field. He does cross country, right? That's pretty simple things. He's a basketball player, and he also does the high jump. And it turns out that his highest jump is capable of jumping over the pastor.
Someday we're going to try that.
How many?
Not today.
Right? That wasn't too bad, was it?
No.
No, that wasn't too bad. What's interesting is that, yeah, I know you were worried. Garden Country is a program that he has been involved in ever since probably age 8, maybe, I think. He has completed 3 of the 4 parts of the program, and he is going to be beginning the 4th part. And in the Garden Country programming, that's a rare thing that occurs, so that he will be eligible for the 4-part award. He is He's an almost Eagle Scout. He has completed all the basic work, and he's going to be beginning his project. So somewhere between here and December, I'll give you time, we should be hearing that he'll be receiving the Eagle, which is a really cool thing, isn't it? Yes, isn't it? He's a goal setter. He knows how to complete the goals. He's a great thinker. Doesn't let you know it, but he is. He's sincere, and he reflects, I think, for me, to him, the Scout law and everything that it embellishes.
Thank you, Scott. All right, Chris. We've talked about these questions. Are you ready for them now? On behalf of the whole church, and I can ask you to imagine that you were the one standing up here and answering these questions. How would you answer them? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Next, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Those are kind of the universal questions of our faith. Now, do you want to serve Him as part of the church? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Now the question for this congregation. As a member of this congregation, Faith Community United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? The symbol of baptism is water. And so we have some water up here. Sign of things to come, Chris. Will you join with me in prayer? Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. And their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Holy Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And so this noontime we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who is about to receive it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ he may share in his final victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, now are you ready for this? Christopher Wayne Shaw, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to invite you, if you would like to, as a sign of humility, kneel at our kneeling rail. And I'd like to invite any family and folks, mentors who are here who would like to say a word of prayer. There's a power in touch, and so I invite you to come and share a prayer with the laying on of hands over Christopher. Christopher, I thank God for your disciplined, playful, athletic, and focused spirit. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Run with perseverance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith." May you run with perseverance the race that is set before you. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias.
Are you a little bit worried, Isabel? What story is he going to use here?
In Xenia, there is a disciple named Isabel. How many of you have ever seen the TV show AD, The Bible Continues? A couple, maybe? A few? Sue? Okay. There was a episode in this TV show. It takes place after Easter, and Jesus had just told Peter to go wait in the upper room. So the disciples are waiting in the upper room, and Peter's daughter is with them. And she asks, "If Jesus is alive, why don't you go tell everybody in the city?" And Peter responds, "Jesus told us to wait here." She asks, "Why are you waiting?" Peter responds, "Jesus wants us to wait for the Holy Spirit." She asks, "Well, how will you know the Holy Spirit is here?" And Peter says, "I don't know. You ask a lot of questions." To which the disciple John says, "She is your daughter." That is kind of how I felt with Isabel in the confirmation class. Isabel is a deep thinker. She asks questions that I think even seminary professors would find a challenge to answer. Mm-hmm. I am very glad Isabel decided to take confirmation, even if she didn't feel like she had a choice. Sometimes I think she does things in the church because she thinks I expect her to do them. It is true that the church, including myself, can put expectations on people. Isabel, I want you to know that all I expect from you is for you to be yourself. be the creative, artistic, articulate, and beautiful girl that you are. I don't want my expectations to block me from the person who God created you to be. I love you. Thank you for being such a wonderful daughter. I invite Isabel forward for confirmation.
Do you want a moment? I actually thought that was pretty generous on his part. All right, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as His representative in the world? And will you, as a member of this congregation, faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? I invite you as a sign of humility.
I have Becky as her mentor.
Sorry, Becky.
I want to invite Becky to come up.
Say a word of introduction.
Yeah. How can I possibly add anything to what Pastor Rick has already shared? This is really a very special moment. This has been a very special class, and I have thoroughly enjoyed working with them, their questions, their bonding with each other. It's amazing, and we're glad that we're here to share this all. Isabel is an eighth grader at Warner Middle School and is a member of the Junior National Honor Society. Very creative, as her dad has said, in a lot of ways. She's a member of a writer's group and has a novel that will be published in June. And we are really excited about all that and looking forward to it. She has been an active participant in Exact Theater program here for many years, and not only has been an actress there, but also worked last summer with the summer program, mentoring those who are aspiring actors and actresses. As far as involvement here in service, it's a part of their family and very much a part of her life and her choices. She has been very active working with Shoes for Shoeless. And if you've ever been there and seen the care and love that she takes in trying to make sure that the socks are just right and the shoes are the ones that are going to lead those individuals to leave with a smile on their faces. She's looking forward to the third mission trip this summer. And during those mission trips, it's particularly the children that she meets and makes those connections with that are special to her. And we're very grateful that she's here today.
I invite you, yeah. And I invite parents, anybody who here who's especially here in support of Isabel. Dear Lord, I thank you for Isabel's thoughtful, imaginative, creative spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 says, "You are our letter written on our heart." I thank you, Lord, that not just that she loves to write, but that she is your letter, sharing your love with others. I pray that you will work through her, that you'll wash her with water and the Holy Spirit, that she might be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Hey, In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Xenia, there is a disciple named Janine. Janine is a person who knows what she believes and has the courage to live out her beliefs. Like Alexandra, I had the privilege of having Janine in my small group on a mission trip to the Quad Cities. She consistently helps with shoes for the shoeless. In class, I asked Janine about the importance of Easter. She said that Easter is about hope. Before Easter, the world was without hope. Then after God raised Christ from the dead, people had hope. We have hope today because youth like Janine offer hope to people in need. Another thing that I appreciate about Janine is her compassion for animals. Janine has a special place in her heart for all of God's creatures. I invite Janine forward for confirmation.
Her mentor has been Carol Jenkins. Do you want to say a word of introduction about Janine?
It's been a delight getting to know Janine this year. She's an eighth grader in Yellow Springs at middle school. She also is one of our people that loves to dance and express herself through dance. And she's on the dance team at school. She's in 4-H, and her special project is her llama called Black Velvet. And she likes to travel a lot and discover and ask questions. She also likes camp. She has been and goes to our church camp and on our mission trips. And she, in keeping with that love of animals, would like to become a veterinarian. Mm. And I'm excited to look forward to what Janine is going to bring us.
All right, Janine, are you ready for these questions? On behalf of the whole church, first I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Next, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him in union with the Lord, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as His representative in the world? And as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? All right, I invite you to have a meal. I like to invite sponsor, friends, supporters, parents. Dear Lord, I thank you for Janine's inquisitive, insightful, and eclectic spirit. You have said that if we seek, we will find. If you ask, it will be given. If we knock, the door will be opened. And so I pray that you will help her to find answers to all her questions. May the Holy Spirit work within you, Janine, that being washed through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Yellow Springs, there is a disciple named Kayla. To say that confirmation class had its ups and downs would be an understatement. Near the beginning of the class, Kayla's mom had a medical emergency. Kayla, her family, and what seemed like half of Cedarville prayed together for Tammy's healing. The prayers worked, and we saw a miracle take place in her life. In Kayla, I see one who understands how precious life is. She doesn't take a day for granted. Her joy exudes through her laughter and smile. Kayla is a cheerleader, yet she can hold her own on the basketball court. After experiencing what they did early this year, I am most thankful for Kayla that her family is able to celebrate her confirmation together. I invite Kayla forward for confirmation.
And her mentor has been Carla.
I've had the joy of knowing Kayla since she was very little. She is the middle daughter of three, of Tammy and Jamie. She has grown into a sweet young lady. I've really enjoyed getting to bond with her during the last 5 months of confirmation. So she's grown into a sweet young lady. She's very caring, very devoted, friend as well. She is an eighth grader at Cedarville Middle School. She is active in cheerleading, track. She just finished fourth yesterday with a shot put during the district track meet. She plays volleyball. She is very active in 4-H, where she shows lambs, hogs, and she serves on the junior fair board at the fairgrounds during the fair. I know God has great plans for Kayla, and I'm excited to see what she ends up becoming.
All right, Kayla, are you ready? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him in the church in union with which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? And as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? I invite you to kneel. And I invite parents and mentor. Kayla, I thank you for your kind, sincere, and loving spirit, both of people and of animals. We are told that the light shines in the darkness, and so I pray that you may be a light that shines in the darkness. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you may be washed by water and the Spirit, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Beaver Creek, there is a disciple named Millie. Many of you have heard Millie play music and worship. She is a talented musician. What you may not know is Millie is a fun person to be around. She is full of life and energy. She excels at everything that she does. She is a wonderful role model for her two younger sisters. I recall Millie say that music makes life beautiful. I think the beauty of the spirit that lives within you, Millie, overflows through you and through your music. Thank you, Millie, for sharing your gift of music with us. But mostly, thank you for sharing with us the gift of yourself. I invite Millie forward for confirmation.
And her mentor has been Barb Thompson.
It has been a major treat to be Millie's mentor. Now, you all know her as Millie, but she has a formal name, Amelia Janisa Steen. And Amelia Janisa plays the violin with the Dayton Youth Harmonic Strings, and she also plays in a jazz band. She, in addition to playing violin, she plays bass guitar and the flute. And when she's not busy doing all that, she competes in a Lego team in Lego competitions and participates in the Model United Nations. Now, this is, as an eighth grader, is her last year to be able to do that, but they have invited her back to help them next year. So she'll get to go to New York with expenses paid to be part of that. She is an eighth grader at the Dayton Montessori School and will be a freshman at Beaver Creek High School next year. She is a wonderful young lady and wonderful fun to watch her volunteer for things and hop up and say, well, I can do that, or I know that. And pretty much the life of the confirmation class, which was not a group deficient in lively people. Bless you, Millie.
All right, Millie, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Next, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? And as a member of this congregation of the United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Excellent. I invite you to kneel. I invite family, those who are here in particular support of Millie. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for Millie's creative, balanced, disciplined, and focused spirit. Ephesians 4:6 says, from the whole body, joined together and compacted by which for the building up of love. Or in other words, you see how things fit together and join them together in love. I thank you for Millie's ability to see how things fit together. I pray that you'll continue to be with her and help her to build them up in love. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work within her, that being born through water and the Spirit, she may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. In Xenia, there is a disciple named Morgan. Like Alexandra and Janine, I had the privilege of having Morgan in my small group on the mission trip to the Quad Cities. Morgan and I played football while we were on that mission trip, and I had so much fun with her. Morgan is involved in many things. Morgan enjoys dancing. Morgan cares for sheep and shows them at the fair. She talked about her experience with sheep in worship a couple weeks ago. And Morgan is great with young children. She is a good friend and well-liked by her peers. I appreciate Morgan's willingness to serve in whatever way she is asked. I invite Morgan forward for confirmation.
I was looking for Lori and I wasn't seeing you. And her mentor has been Lori Krakowiak.
Morgan Anna Rose Wickline, and actually I've got to know Morgan in the last couple years because she is a volunteer in the nursery, and she's very loving and kind with the little ones, so if you have them, please bring them to the nursery. She is very involved. In fact, we haven't even had time to talk about what she does. She's been in Washington, D.C. this past week with her eighth grade. She goes to Warner Middle School. I just want to say that she has a servant's heart, and I have enjoyed this class with you, and I look forward to seeing what God has planned for you.
All right, Morgan, we've talked about these questions. Are you ready for them?
I think so.
You think so? On behalf of the whole church, let's see how this goes. First, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Next, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And according to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as His representative in the world? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? I invite you to kneel. And I invite family and those who are in support of Morgan to join me for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for Morgan. I thank you for her balanced, generous, and sincere spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, We water, but God is the one who causes things to grow. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to, your spirit will continue to grow in her. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within her, that being born through water and the Spirit, she may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Yep. To do that, I got to get a bulletin, and the bulletin's over here.